This morning, I want you to turn your Bibles to John 3:16. Some of you are like, hey, I know that scripture. Yeah, you do. Okay? This morning, though, I'm going to take this scripture in a little different direction, okay? Obviously, this is probably the most famous scripture in the Bible. Even folks outside of church have probably heard of this scripture, or at least they say, well, that's why that guy holds that up at a football game. But John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Great scripture. It's a scripture that we hang our salvation on. It's a scripture that we hang faith on. But it's also a scripture that talks about giving. And this morning, I'm going to talk to you about giving. Now, you know what, guys? Some of you are like, oh boy, the preacher's going to talk about money. Well, you know what? I am going to talk about money. And you want to know why I want to talk about money? Because the Bible had a lot to say about money. Did you know that Jesus talked about money in 16 out of 38 parables? Let that sink in. In 38 parables, nearly half of them had to do with money or possessions. Okay? In fact, 1 out of 10 verses in the gospel had something to say about money or possessions. The Bible devotes 500 verses on prayer. I think we would all agree that's pretty important, right? It devotes a little less than 500 verses on faith. I think we would all agree that faith is pretty important, right? But over 2,000 verses have to do with money or possessions. So you know what, guys? If the Bible has that much to say about money, has that much to say about stewardship, has that much to say about how we handle our finances, don't you think the church should talk about it a little bit more? You know, the last several weeks, we've been talking about elements of a strong and a healthy church. We've talked about, in fact, on Wednesday nights, my wife began a study this past Wednesday out of Matthew chapter number 6, and we were talking about giving and fasting, and this coming Sunday, we're going to talk about prayer. So guys, this is kind of all in the same element. We're talking about becoming strong and healthy once again. And one element of a strong and healthy church is a giving church. A church that gives, a church that supports missions, a church, Sister Valley, that meets the needs in its community, a church that giving has to be a part of what we're doing because it's the heartbeat of God. Remember, John 3:16 says, God so loved that he did something about it. The natural response to love is to give. It's what God the Father did. He loved us so very much. He loved us in our condition so very much that he knew he had to do something about it, Jesse. So he gave the very best heaven had to offer. And you know what, guys? In our response to our love for God, we should give as well. Okay? And we're going to talk about that for the next few minutes. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us. Lord, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for what you're trying to speak to our hearts. I ask today, Lord God, that you would touch the ministry of this word. Let it touch people's hearts. Touch us today, Lord God, as we learn to be faithful to you in the area of giving. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody would say, amen. Martin Luther talked about three conversions. He said there are three conversions that happens in a person's life. The conversion of their head. That's when they kind of begin to think that, wow, there's something to this word, okay? That's when that gospel seed is planted, Brother Rick, and they begin to think about the things of God. And JD, you begin to ponder the things of God, the conversion of the head. Then there's the conversion of the heart. Man, that happens usually at the altars of a church, and it's accompanied by tears. And Sister Wanda, we love that part, okay? The head, the heart, and then there's the wallet. See, eventually, when God touches your heart, he's touched your head, he's going to eventually ask for you to do something. He's going to ask you to give, amen? So Martin Luther said there's three different conversions, the head, the heart, and the pocketbook. Today, we're going to talk about all three. You see, guys, giving is a natural response to loving. Let me read you a story out of a devotion that I found, and it goes this way. This is actually a Turning Point devotion by David Jeremiah. It says this, God so loved that he gave. When James Carter was pastor of University Baptist Church of Fort Worth, he shared an experience from younger days that he called the greatest tithing testimony I ever observed. He said one day as he waited to see the manager of a grocery store, a widow came in to cash her old age check. for $55. The grocer asked the woman how she wanted it, and she replied, it doesn't matter any difference, just so I have a $5 bill and a 50-cent piece. As the owner gave her the money, Carter noticed she tucked the coin into the bill and folded it up and placed it in the corner of her purse. This is my tithe, she explained. I put it separate so I won't spend it. It was a scene Carter never forgot, and it later influenced his own faithfulness in the area of tithes and offerings. She didn't have much, yet that elderly woman honored God with her substance and with the first part of all her income. See, stewardship is not merely a matter of obligation. It's a matter of love. When you love someone, you want to express your gratitude and affection. Our stewardship should be faithfully accomplished and lovingly practiced. Are we as wise as that little old lady? You see, guys, giving is a natural response to loving. This is illustrated every Christmas time. This is illustrated every birthday season. I mean, think about some amazing gifts that you've gotten from people. From the people that love you the most, they give you the nicest stuff, okay? Amber, you got your new dress, okay? It's because mom and dad love you. It's a pretty cool thing, okay? You know, we give gifts to people we love. We give gifts to people because, Sister Valley, we want to show them how much they mean to us. You know, think about some of them wonderful things Milton had given y'all down through the years. Some of them you still cherish today, don't you? Why? Because you knew that man loved you, and he gave that to you because he loved you. Guys, think about it. Giving is a natural response to loving, okay? I tell you what, Jesse, don't you forget somebody's birthday. It's okay to forget my birthday. It's even okay to forget Miss Chantel's birthday, even though she's going to remind you, okay? For those of you that don't remember, Miss Chantel has a birthday month, okay? It's in December, okay? She'll start reminding you in November, okay? And as we get closer to the 10th, she'll tell everybody about it, okay? She does that because she really likes her birthday. And I try not to forget her birthday because I really like the girl, okay? You see, when you love somebody, you give to them, right? Well, guys, the same thing is true with God. We say we love him, okay? And the way we show that love is, we talked about this last week, we love others, and we also give to him. So this morning, I want to take a few minutes to talk about giving, okay? And basically, here's what we're going to talk about. Giving. The who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how. Now, some of you are going, wow, that's 6 points. That could take a while, preacher. No, it won't. I promise you. So let's look at it. Giving. The who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how. The who. The who, guys, is you and me. Okay? You see, I wouldn't ask you to do something I'm not doing myself. We are supposed to give, okay? Your pastor gives to God. You should give to God. The who is you and me. Okay? And we're supposed to give to God, not to me as the pastor, okay? There are some churches that all the offering goes to the pastor. This is not one of those churches, okay? The board has set my salary. So if you give a real good offering today, my salary's not going to go up. It stays the same, okay? So your giving doesn't go straight to the preacher, okay? It goes to the church. And then the board of directors, along with myself, we decide how best to spend that money, okay? Now, guys, you look around and we have some wonderful facilities. God has blessed us with wonderful facilities. But one thing about wonderful facilities is it requires upkeep. It requires maintenance, okay? It requires, there's utilities to be paid. Clico loves us, but they still expect us to pay a bill, okay? I mean, the city of Berwick loves us too, but they don't let us have water and gas for free, okay? So again, these are all things that, you understand that. So the who is you and I, and we give to God. You see, guys, you and I, that's the thing to remember. You and I are giving to God. You're not just giving to a church. You're giving to God. Now, the question must be asked, does God need my money? Well, the answer to that is really no. Psalms 24:1 says this, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. What does that mean? That means God doesn't need our money. He really doesn't. Okay? You know, think about it. We have a new president in the White House, and he is working for a very discounted rate. Have you heard? He's taking $1 per year. okay? I don't know about you, but I think we always already got our money's worth this week, huh? Okay? But here's the deal. Mr. Trump is a very rich man. God's blessed him in many ways. He's a wonderful businessman. And so he doesn't need the whatever the salary is for the president, okay? Well, guys, as well off as Mr. Trump is, he's a pauper compared to God, okay? God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need anything we could offer him. But here's the thing. When we offer him our money, when we offer him our bodies as a living sacrifice, oh, wow, the blessings begin to flow. So the who of giving is you and me, okay? You and I are supposed to give to God, and it's something that he expects from us. You see, we can't possibly give him anything he doesn't already own, okay? Think about this, guys. My parents are 80 years old, okay, and they are so hard to buy for. You got anybody like that? You got anybody in your family you're like, Sister Debbie, what am I going to buy them, okay? Because they already have everything they want, okay? We ask my parents sometimes, give us some things you want, okay? And then they'll write it down, and then they'll just go get it themselves. I'm like, well, that kind of defeated the purpose. I want to get you something. You're so hard to buy for, okay? Well, guys, think about it. We can't give God anything he really needs because he's already got everything, okay? All he wants is our heart. All he wants is our obedience. And guys, giving is a great indicator of our obedience. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So the who of giving is you and it's me, okay? So let's look at the next part. We got the who down. It's you and it's me. Now let's talk about the what. What does God expect from us? A couple years ago, our former superintendent, Brother Fullenwater, preached a message at my church, and it was called The Four T's of Stewardship. And he talked about time, talent, treasure, and truth. And I've even added another one to that, true worship. God expects those things from us. He wants us to give our time to him. Those of you that come and take care of the, Brother Rick, when you come and take care of some of the grounds, God blesses you for that. God's pleased when he sees that. When some of you come and volunteer for a class or you come and do something around the church or something like that, God blesses you for that. That pleases God because he wants us to give him his time. He also wants us to give his talents, okay? Those of you that are singing, those of you that are playing instruments, those of you that are in the process of getting up here, God has given you those talents and he wants you to use them, okay? And he's pleased when you use them. That's something God expects from us. He loves that. He also wants us to give treasure, and we'll talk about that in a second. And then he wants us to just give truth. He wants us to know what the truth is, and he wants us to give it to others. And then I added true worship. See, guys, we're supposed to worship him in spirit and in truth. And you know what? When you worship him in spirit and truth, it doesn't matter what song we're singing. It doesn't matter how we're singing it, okay? None of those things matter. When we're worshiping him and we're giving him true worship, sometimes you forget about the song being sung. Sometimes you sing a different verse because you're caught up in it and you're just loving on God. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's what God wants from us. He wants our time, our talent, our treasure, our truth, our true worship. That serves as a great answer to the what. You see, guys, now in the future, we're going to talk about some of those other things. But today, let me just focus in on the treasure or the income. This is one of the few tangible measures of our relationship with God. Did you know that? I've noticed as a pastor, those of you that don't know this, it's not my first pastorate. I've pastored for 8.5 years down in Desalman. So I know a few things. And here's what I've noticed. People start coming to church before they start giving. Okay? Folks that are visitors, they don't drop their visitor's card in their tithe check and offering at the same time. They don't do that. Okay? They start coming first before they start giving. And I've also noticed that people stop giving before they stop coming. That's just the truth. Since giving is a natural response to loving, our giving is a tangible reason or a tangible reflection of our relationship with the Lord. You see, some folks, they stop giving because they're mad at the preacher. Well, you know what? You really got a problem with God, okay? Now, I know every one of you love the preacher. I love the honeymoon. Let's just enjoy this honeymoon for a while, okay? But I also know me. Eventually, I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. Eventually, I will do something that will disappoint you because I am human. But I'm going to ask you just to trust God. I'm going to ask you not to get mad at the preacher and stop giving, because when you stop giving, you actually cut off the blessings from above. You cut off the blessings from God. And I love you too much for you to do that. So guys, you've probably heard this before, but taxes prove that you can give without loving. Can I get a witness? Okay? Thankfully, I normally get a little something back from my Uncle Sam, but Mr. Edwards there in Louisiana always gets a check from me. Okay, something about those state taxes. I just don't take enough out, okay? So every year, Brother Chase, I got to write a few hundred bucks to the state, okay? Now, do I write that check with a smile on my face? No. Do I send that check the 15th of March? No. I send it May 15th. And if I can send it May 17th, I'll send it May 17th. Why? Because I ain't too excited about writing that check. Okay, can anybody relate? So you can give without loving. But you can't love without giving. You can't say you love God. You can't say you love what God's doing at this church without wanting to give, without wanting to be a part of it. So guys, the what is our treasure. Let's take a closer look at what we should be giving with regard to our treasure. Turn with me to Malachi chapter number 3. We're going to talk about the tithe real quick, okay? Some of you, you've been in church a long time, you know about this, but I'm going to read it to you again. Some of you, this may be the first time you've heard this. The tithe is 10% of our total income. Tithing is expected for church membership, but more importantly, it's expected by God. Malachi chapter number 3, start reading in verse number 6. It says, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Look what God says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that you will not have room enough for it. Boy, that's pretty good stuff right there. How many want to be blessed by God? If you want to be blessed by God, give to God. This is the one place in the Bible where he says, test me. This is the one place where he says, try me. JD just says, try it. Give it a shot and see if I don't bless you. How many in here have seen the blessings of God when you give to God? Amen. I've got my hand up because I've been seeing it for years. The tithe is so very important. Do you realize that we actually, as a couple, I began to tithe before I even got saved? That's not something you hear every day now, is it? Here's our story. My wife and I got married, okay? I wasn't saved yet. By the way, we don't recommend that, okay? We're like the one in a million missionary couple that worked out okay? But we get married, and my wife, who did the finances, by the way, we were still in college, okay? We were juniors in college. I played college football, okay? And I wasn't good enough to get paid. Some of you will get that one. Okay, but this was in the crazy 90s, you know, we had a running back, he had a new car every month, bless his heart, okay, but I wasn't one of those players, but so I played football, okay, my wife had a job, and she had a good job in college, made a whole $1,000 a month, okay, the good news is we lived in an apartment that was $250 a month furnished. Sister Valley, it was furnished for $250 a month. Now, if you flop down on that sofa, you might need a chiropractor's visit, okay? It was junky, okay? I mean, it had the, oh, wow, the colors, man. The colors were straight from the 70s. Man, y'all did some crazy things in the 70s, folks. Okay, but back to my story. We're making $1,000 a month, and she's making $1,000 a month. I'm playing football. I don't make any money, okay? And she said, we're going to start tithing. I said, we're going to start what? She said, we're going to start giving 10% of our income to God. I said, Wait a second, okay? We went to a church that was about 600-700, big old church in West Monroe, and I did some math. God was a pretty smart guy. Fabian and I said, so do you think that church really needs our $100 a month? What are they going to do with my $100 a month? You think they can even buy toilet paper for every bathroom with $100? I don't think they can. Miss Belinda, I was like, what are they going to do? They won't miss my $100, okay? So she said, we're going to tithe. I said, we're not, okay? And then we started tithing. Like most arguments, that's kind of how it goes, okay? By the way, guys, that's a lesson, okay? It ain't worth winning all those arguments, okay? So we started tithing, and Chantel said God would bless us, okay? So, I mean, I'm a heathen. I was like, okay, all right. And so I had a truck, okay? Next thing you know, my truck has to go to the shop. My truck had to go to a shop, and there was a transmission seal or two that needed fixing, and it was going to cost $357 to fix it. Now, guys, we didn't have $357, okay? And today, that wouldn't be that big of a deal. Some of you are like, that's not much money. But for two college students who were just married, who made $1,000 a month, and we're giving $100 of that to the church, $357 is a lot of money. So I started to give her a hard time, Blaine. I started like, you said God was going to bless us, now my truck tow up. Okay? And she said, he's going to bless us. Okay? So we're fussing about it. And she had actually went to her boss and talked to him about maybe in advance. Okay? But I was giving her a hard time. I was like, you said God was going to bless us. And whatever. And then I get a call that I had a refund check at the school bank. Now, again, I was on football scholarship, so all my bills were paid. Okay? I hadn't got a refund check in some time. But apparently, I'd filled out some paperwork. And I was supposed to get like a little Pell Grant or whatever, but I didn't know anything about it. I go to the bank, and Belinda, I stand in line, and I get this check, and the check had my name on it, and it was $357. You can't make this stuff up, guys. And Art, I'm looking at that check, and now I'm lost as a goose. If I'd walked out that bank and got hit by a bus, I'd busted hell wide open. God didn't know Jesus yet. But I looked at that check, and I said, there must be something to this giving thing. Because God knew that I had a need. And now he's big enough to meet that need through some little federal program, okay? But here's the deal, guys. From that day forward, we've given to God. Over 25 years ago, 23, 24 years ago. You know me in numbers, okay? But here's the deal. Just a month after that, I got saved, okay? And a month after that, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And a year after that, I was in full-time ministry. And the rest, as they say, is history. But guys, here's the deal about giving. I've never doubted God from that day forward. Now, guys, if time would permit, we all have those kind of stories, don't we, JD? We all have those stories where, man, things were tight. Things, we didn't know how God would make a way, but he made a way. And why does he do that? Because he's God, and he loves us. We're his children, and there's nothing he wouldn't do to take care of us. And some of us are not receiving the blessings of God because we're tying his hands because we're not giving the tithe to him. You see, the Bible says that we are supposed to try him in this area. We're supposed to test him in this area. See if I will not open up the floodgates of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not even have room enough to receive it. But if we don't give the tithe, the Bible says we're cursed with a curse. You ever met some of those folks? Man, their truck's always in the shop. Something's always tearing up, okay? I made the mistake one time of renting a house of mine to one of those couples. Okay? They were always late with the rent. Why? Because they were cursed with a curse. They went to their pawpaw one time who grew up in church, who was in church, and they kind of were in and out of church. And the grandpa said, you don't give your tithe, the devil gonna steal that money from you. And he was doing it. And they couldn't pay my bills. And I didn't like it. I ended up evicting them. Okay? But the tithe is a blessing. You're supposed to give 10% of your income, and God promises to bless you for it. Now, what else does he expect from us? He expects offerings. Offerings are anything above our tithe. That's the money we give to missions. That's the money you give to building fund. That's the money you give to projects, departments, youth department, Royal Rangers, missionettes, whatever. Last year, our church gave over $12,000 to missions. Give yourselves a hand. That's pretty awesome. That is really awesome. You've seen these buddy boxes before. Sister Sarah comes up here and talks about BGMC. This is part of missions giving. Now that's above your tithe. And God blesses us for that. See guys, here's the way I look at it. When you give the tithe, it's kind of like the bare minimum. I'm a teacher, okay? And you have to make at least a 67 to pass. You make a 66, you're doing that class again because you failed. But a 67 is a passing grade, okay? And I've given out a few 67s in PE. Now, what sense does that make? Brother Rick, how does somebody fail PE? I mean, they almost do it. They almost do it, okay? But I've given out from 67s in PE, and that's barely passing. That's the minimum requirement to pass. Well, you know what, guys? I look at the tithe as the minimum requirement to pass. Now, parents, is a D good enough at your home? No. In fact, if one of my kids bring home a D, you'll know it. You'll hear them squalling, okay? You won't ever see them on their phone, okay? You won't ever see them driving, okay? This is on tape. You'll hear it. Don't you ever bring a D home. You better not even bring a C home. That's unacceptable. But guys, think about it. Some of us, we think, well, we'll just give exactly what we have to give to get by. No. Guys, I don't want to ask how much do I have to give to God. I want to ask how much do I get to give to God. God, I'm just excited to give to you. I'm excited to give to missions. I'm excited to give to special projects. I'm excited to give. Why? Because when I give, I take on the characteristic of God. God so loved that he did what? He gave. And when you and I begin to give, we get to act like God. That's a pretty cool thing, okay? So guys, think about it. God expects the offerings. God expects the tithes. God expects us to meet people's needs. You ever give to people that are in need? I hope you do, because according to Proverbs chapter number 19, and that's good stuff. Let me read it to you. Here's what happens when you give to people in need. Proverbs 19 and 17. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Guys, you ever lent some money to somebody and you knew you wasn't seeing that money again? I heard a joke one time that if you lend your brother-in-law 50 bucks and he never talks to you again, was it worth the investment? We've lent money to people before and we're like, we never see them again, right? They ain't never gonna pay you back, JD. But think about it. When you give to the poor, what are you doing? You're lending to God. Now God pays his bills. God gives back to you. Amen? Isn't it good to know sometimes that you can lend to God? Man, look. Hey, at restaurants, I might buy somebody's meal. Okay? I might give somebody some gas. Now, I usually don't give cash because of obvious reasons. Okay? But you know what? There are times I even give cash. But when I do, I give as unto the Lord. Miss Belinda, it ain't my responsibility what they do with it. I'm just like, God, I'm trusting you. And I might be entertaining an angel unaware, Miss Valley. So I'm going to give a little something. Why? Because I want to lend to God and I want the blessings that come back my way. Okay? So guys, when we give, that's what God expects from us. That's the what. That's the what. So the what? Our time, our talents, our treasure, our truth, our true worship. Our treasure includes the tithe, the offerings, and meeting other needs. Now let's look at the when. The when. We're supposed to give regularly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Turn with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, talking about when we should give. It says this, now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. So when should we give? Regularly. You should give whenever you get paid. If you get paid once a month, you give your tithe once a month. You get paid every 2 weeks. You understand? Give regularly. We should try not to let an offering be passed without putting something in. Why? Because it's an act of worship. You see, guys, we do offerings usually right after worship, and sometimes we think, well, we did worship, now we do offering. No, it's a continuation of worship. When you give to God, when you fill out that giving envelope, when you put that money in that plate, you're giving an act of worship to God. Also, we should be alert for opportunities to give outside of church to those in need whenever the Lord touches your heart. A great antidote to greed and materialism, which so plagues our society today, is to give regularly. And that answers the when. Guys, you've met so many people, they're so greedy, they're so materialistic. The antidote to that is giving regularly. Amen? Teach your kids to give to missions. Guys, BGMC is such a great tool for you to teach your kids to give. Both of my boys have given over $100 in years to BGMC. Why is that? Because I want to teach them to give. I want them to have the same blessings that me and their mama enjoy. Amen? Now, let's talk about the where. The where you're supposed to give is primarily to your home church. Malachi 3:10 tells us to give to the storehouse, okay? That's your local church where you get regular spiritual nourishment and fellowship. Not the TV preacher. No matter what he promises to send you. Because when you go to the hospital, that TV preacher's not coming to see you, okay? You know, I heard a story one time that if you give $53 for 53 weeks, you'll get an Isaiah 53 blessing. I want to punch that bozo in the mouth. Because you know what? I don't have to pay $53 for an Isaiah 53 blessing. I receive the blessing of my healing by faith. Amen? So next time you see some squirrel on TV begging and pleading for your money, just put on SportsCenter. Turn something else on, okay? I'll be honest with you. I used to watch TBN just for entertainment purposes, okay? I just kind of see what color hair they have this week, okay? Bless their heart, they're in heaven now. But you know what I'm talking about. But guys, now, is there some good things out there? Yes. There are some people that are solid in the word. But there are some people that are trying to prostitute this gospel. And you better have discernment and know the difference. Amen? So where should you give your tithe? You should give it to your local church. Sister Pepper, if you go to the hospital this week, guess who's coming to see you? I am. Okay? Your son's coming to see you. Brother, I love Brother Jesse, but Brother Jesse ain't coming to see you. Okay? You know, again, guys, your local church is where the giving should happen. Your tithe. Now, can you give offerings above that? Absolutely. You want to send an offering to Brother Jesse? Send him an offering. You want to send an offering to Brother Jimmy? Send him an offering. It's okay. Don't you send him your tithe. That ain't where that goes. Amen? God expects your tithe to be given to him through your local church. It's unscriptural to redirect your tithe. You know, when I was in Des Almonds, I had a few difficult guys, okay? I had a few folks, they were hard-headed, okay? And one cat, he decided to redirect his tithe because he was worried that the preacher would spend it in a way he didn't want to spend. So he'd give a little bit to the youth, give a little bit to here, give a little bit to there, and that is unscriptural. In fact, we had a little meeting with some denominational people, and he had a long study on why it was okay to do it. And I remember Brother Rick, he talked about that for about 10 minutes, and I'll never forget this. Brother Lloyd Singley, some of y'all know Brother Lloyd, this was Walt Rose's brother-in-law. He put that thing down on a paper and he said, "I got one question, sir. You can't believe all that hogwash now, can you?" I had to bite my tongue to keep from laughing because I was thinking the exact same thing. He's like, "You can't really believe this nonsense now, can you?" But guys, sometimes the enemy will trick you and you'll believe nonsense. All right? Don't get caught up in that stuff. Your tithe is supposed to belong to the local church. Amen? It's unscriptural for you to redirect your tithes. Now, with offerings, you have much say in that, man. Offerings can go anywhere as you want them to go. In your local church, outside ministries, you can do all that you want in that. Let the blessings flow. Also, like with the wind, always be attentive to opportunities to give outside these four walls. God will bless you for it. And that's the where. Now, the why. The why is the Lord commands it. And not only in Malachi 3, but also in Proverbs chapter number 3. Some of you are like, "Well, I've heard that Malachi stuff before," but it's also in other places in the Bible. Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine." It sounds like blessings, doesn't it? When you give to God, blessings follow. In addition to that, turn to Matthew chapter number 6. This is what my wife's been teaching on, Matthew chapter number 6. Verse number one, it says this: be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, when your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Guys, I don't know about you, but I want rewards from my Father. Amen. I want blessings from above. Notice the when. Giving is expected just like prayer, fasting in the rest of the chapter. My wife was teaching. Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. He expected that of his disciples. He expects it of you and I today. Now, here's the good news, guys. Blessings always follow obedience. When you do what God says, blessings follow. Blessings are promised for our obedience in this area. In Malachi chapter number 3, it promises it. And then also in Luke chapter number 6, verse number 38, Jesus says, give, and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Guys, when you give to God, he promises to bless you. I've heard it said, I'm not sure all happy people are generous, but I've never seen a generous person who wasn't happy. Amen? So the why. God commands it. And he promises blessings to follow obedience. And finally, the how. The how is found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. The how is generously and cheerfully. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verses 6 through 8. Paul writes, remember this, whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able, say that with me, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Sounds like blessings to me, huh? It sounds like blessings that follow obedience. We're supposed to give generously. We're supposed to give cheerfully. I've heard the preacher say one time, take your neighbor's wallet or purse and give like you always wanted to. Now, parents, you ever notice how your kids will spend your money a lot quicker than they'll spend theirs? Yeah, man, look, Hunter, we ordered some sporting equipment this week. I think it was some spikes for Hayden, and they sent a catalog with us. And Hunter's going through that and like, oh, I need that, I need that, I need that, I need that. And Brother Irv, he wasn't going to pay for any of that, okay? He wanted me to pay for that. He's like, oh, look, Hayden could get a new catcher's gear, and it's only $250. You know, it's amazing when they're trying to spend your money, Brother Rick, it's only $250. Only. You know what, guys? We laugh about that. But here's something to remember. Every dollar that you have is not yours. You see, honestly, God could ask for all of it back, Fabian, because he gave it all to us. But all he asked back is for 10%. And he asked for a little offering on top of that. Don't you wish the government could get by with that? Okay? I hear we're going to do some tax reform. There's going to be some different tax brackets. Don't you think they could just get by with 10? If God can get by with 10%, shouldn't our government get by with 10%? They're not, okay? Because God's not a thief and politicians aren't. Did I say that? I didn't mean to. Let the truth set you free, okay? Brother JD, I've learned to figure out how to tell when a politician's lying. His lips are moving, okay? Let me get back to my text here. We're supposed to give cheerfully and we're supposed to give generously. And when we give to God, he promises to bless us, amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us, Lord God, that blessings always follow obedience. Now, in just a couple minutes, the how of giving is going to be now, because we're going to receive an offering in just a few minutes. We're going to give you an opportunity to practically apply what you've been taught today. And as with most spiritual issues, it really comes down to faith. Do you truly believe God will do what he says he will do in his word? We can believe him to forgive us of our sins when we ask. We can believe him to baptize us with the Holy Spirit when we ask. We can believe him to heal our bodies when we ask. We should be able to believe him to bless us when we give.